Winter in the northern woods of Maine is an inhospitable time for most people and beasts, but some thrive, or at least survive, where others would die. Bernd Heinrich is the sort of person who thrives, and he's made a life of studying those animals who manage to survive when the thermometer falls far below zero and snow blankets the woods. Heinrich teaches biology at the University of Vermont and recently published his latest book, Winter World, The Ingenuity of Animal Survival. He does most of his research in Maine from a log cabin he built by hand half a mile from the nearest road. NPR's Andrea De Leon visited Heinrich to share his window on the animal world.
On a stormy winter's night, when most people in Maine nestle under their goose-down comforters, Bernd Heinrich forces himself to stay in bed. Sometimes he fails and goes to the window of his log cabin. His thoughts are with the animals out in the snow. Like a kid waiting for Santa, Heinrich anticipates the dawn when he'll head out into the drifts to see how the creatures have fared. Moving nimbly on an old pair of wooden snowshoes and lightly dressed in a fleece-lined jacket, Heinrich strides out into the forest. It is a cloudless winter day, still and cold. The thermometer reads 3 degrees.
So we're going to have to do a little bit of walking.
Okay.
The snow is 2 feet deep. Tracks are everywhere. Just 100 feet from the cabin, the wide print of a snowshoe hare crosses the tracks of deer, mice, and squirrels.
See the nest up there?
Yes, what is that?
That's a raven nest.
From the bottom, it looks like just a disorderly pile of twigs.
Well, it is a big pile of twigs, and inside is actually a very comfortable, warm nest, usually lined with deer fur.
Do you climb a lot of trees?
Yeah, I've been up there a few times.
Heinrich is agile, especially for 62 years old. Expert on his snowshoes, he moves quickly over the snow. The brown curls of his crazy sheep's wool hat bounce in rhythm. Just like people, animals that stay active all winter need to consume enough calories each day to stay warm. Some seem to plan ahead. Tree squirrels stash pine cones and apples for the winter. Heinrich's discovered that red squirrels bite hundreds of tiny holes in maple trees, holes they remember and return to when the sap begins to flow. Other animals rely on what they can catch.
Here comes a raven.
A ways from the cabin, a dead calf lies frozen in the woods, its blood bright against the snow.
It's just a calf I dragged up yesterday to see if I could draw in some ravens, and that'd be nice to, I'd like to have them around, and I know that pair over there, and so I want to make sure they have something to eat. I think right now it might be kind of hard for them.
Why?
Well, the snow isn't deep enough, so the deer are still getting around easy enough, and they're not dying of starvation because they're stuck in some place because they can't forage. They're obviously getting to the food and can find plenty of food, so they're probably doing pretty well.
But a good winter for deer is a bad winter for ravens. Just down the slope from the calf carcass, Heinrich points to a shallow depression in the snow. It is a deer bed. A single deer spent the night curled up, comfortable in a temperature of 40 degrees below zero.
But that's not really that amazing when you compare it to something like a chickadee or a kinglet, because they're so tiny and would be losing heat so rapidly. Something big like this would really doesn't have that much of a problem compared to something as small as a bird.
Heinrich heads toward a frozen stream where a canopy of trees keeps the earth from radiating as much heat and where dense branches break the wind. He stops at what looks like a mass of thick cobwebs on a branch. Inside are tent caterpillar larvae, waiting out the winter. They make their own glycerol, otherwise known as antifreeze.
Right up in the top of the dead fir, a couple of nuthatches, red-breasted nuthatches. They almost always travel in pairs all winter long. For some reason, I think it's for huddling at night. Those guys sleep in holes at night. I've watched them find a tree hole and go into it.
So at this time of day, as the sun is heading down, are they having a last snack? What kind of things are they doing?
Yeah, they're just, well, they're kind of taking the snack all day long because they have to shore up their fat supplies and increase the fat supplies over the day and burn it off by shivering during the night.
So shivering warms them up.
Yeah, it's exercise of the flight muscles without going anywhere. So normally when they're hopping around and flying, they're of course working their muscles and producing a lot of heat. But if they're sitting still, then they're not flying, and the only way to work those muscles is to contract them against each other. It produces heat but no locomotion. But this is a good spot for kinglets. They like it's kind of conifers. So I'd like to listen and see if I can maybe hear one.
Something known as Bergman's Rule states that northern animals are larger because they need those big bodies to conserve heat. Golden-crowned kinglets are in flagrant violation of that rule. They forage from dawn to dusk, without stopping, and then at dark, they seem to vanish. Even more amazing, they survive the winter eating insects, though we have not noticed any active bugs in the woods today. Maybe that's why we don't hear any kinglets, either.
It's kind of a tsee, but it's really, really high. They're so small, and their coloration blends right in with the foliage so that you don't really see them except through movement. They weigh about as much as 2 pennies. And a lot of times they will hover in front of branches like a hummingbird.
Earlier this winter, after years of trying to figure out where the birds went, Heinrich spotted 4 kinglets huddled on a branch for the night. In his photograph, they look like a single ball of fluff, tiny tails protruding in different directions. In the warmth of Heinrich's cabin, a pot of water simmers on the old cook stove. In the corners, there's evidence of the cluster flies and the deer mice who've discovered the joys of wintering indoors. A hissing propane lantern provides the only light. Now, ready to take what he calls a permanent sabbatical from teaching college, he says he'll have even more time for observation and research.
So I'm still trying to see something new all the time. So I would say, yeah, you know, what a good day is seeing something that I hadn't seen before.
As the light fades from the winter sky, he's ready to make himself a little dinner and tuck into his sleeping bag by the stove. Outside, the birds are already asleep. In the morning, when they begin to sing, Bernd Heinrich will probably be out on his snowshoes, quiet, watching. Andrea De Leon, NPR News, in the woods near Farmington, Maine.
Our story was recorded by Josh Rogerson. For a closer look at Bernd Heinrich's winter world, visit our website at npr.org.